If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, it's the same passage, the same place where Bill read this morning. Colossians 1, 9. This is not the passage that I had planned to speak from this morning. I hope you don't mind, but the Holy Spirit has sway. And when the Holy Spirit nudges in a certain way, I try to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying.
Amen.
Amen. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Lord Jesus, I do thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your nudging and for your faithfulness. I pray that you would add your grace to your word this morning and that you'd open our hearts, and so that we might be able to receive and to hear what you have us to hear this morning. We give all these things in your hands, Lord, in your precious name. We are only 3 weeks from Thanksgiving. Hard to believe. Hard to believe. 3 weeks. And even though there has been great adversity in the past year, my friends, we still have much to be thankful for. Amen. We should be joyfully giving thanks to God. Because on every occasion, God is still on the throne. Amen. On every occasion, God is still faithful. As surely as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, our God is worthy to be praised. Amen. God is still caring for us. God is still providing in ways that only God can provide. My friends, the blessings of God are countless in our lives. So as we approach the Thanksgiving season, draw your attention toward an attitude of thanksgiving to Him, for God is great. His mercies, His blessings abound. Even in the midst of adversity, His mercies, His blessings abound. Bill read this beginning of this morning. And within these verses, one of the great blessings of God are found. In verse 12, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you. He has qualified you. We give thanks to the Father that we are now qualified to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints. We who once were enemies of God are now considered or called to be the children of God. And as such, we have an inheritance. For the next few moments, I would like to talk with you concerning this inheritance God has qualified us to receive. You see, as of in ourselves, we are not qualified. We're not qualified to be the children of God. It is only by the grace of God that you have been brought into the kingdom of God. For that, I am extremely grateful. For there is nothing I can do to be qualified to be a part of the kingdom of God, but God in His grace and His mercy sought me out. God in His grace and mercy, He sought you out. And now you are called the children of God, and that qualifies us as recipients of His inheritance. Now you have to understand that this is not just any old inheritance. It's not as though it's a small amount of cash or even a large amount of cash. This is an eternal inheritance. This is an eternal inheritance. It will endure throughout eternity. It will never rust. It will never end. It will never grow ineffective, for it's eternal. It was set into place before the foundation of the world. How exciting to know that God Himself decided that you should have an inheritance. And because He decided that you should have an inheritance and He wanted to bless you, He said, now how can I go about qualifying, because they are not qualified to be my children, how can I go about qualifying them to be the children of God, to be qualified to receive this inheritance, this eternal inheritance? Not only so, He decided that you should share that inheritance with Jesus Christ. We are co-heirs. We are co-heirs with Him. Somebody should say amen. Well, thank you. How wonderful to accept that God has accomplished these things through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, because it is God's inheritance, it's a holy inheritance. It's a holy, it's an upright, it's a righteous, it's a pure inheritance. Jennifer, being a trust officer, she sometimes deals with estates. And as they go through and they see the house, they deal with the house, the contents of the house, she contacts the recipients or the beneficiaries with the inheritance. And sometimes the recipients or the beneficiaries, the inheritance is more of a burden than a blessing. Sometimes it comes with great difficulties. You have to know that because it's God's inheritance, it's holy, it's perfect, it won't burden you, it's not going to be full of taxes for you. For it's God's inheritance. Not only so, but it's dispensed freely to all of the saints. It's a free gift of God according to His grace. It is a sure foundation, for He has said, if you'll confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and God is true to His word. And so if you do what God has said for you to do, it's sure. You know, there are some religions where those who follow have to wonder, well, did I do it right? Has God actually forgiven me? Have I done enough good works that God has forgiven me? You know, with the Lord Jesus, it's His work. It's His work, and because it's His work, it's sure. It's sure. It's a durable treasure stored up for us that rust and moth can't destroy, where thieves cannot steal. Your inheritance is true. It's safe. When we consider this inheritance, we should be truly thankful. We should be truly thankful because there is nothing in us that deserves that God should qualify us. There's nothing in me that is lovely. Boy, I know it. But God, by His grace, redeemed me anyway. There is nothing in you that qualifies you that is deserving of God's grace. But God, in His mercy, in His love, reaches toward you. There's nothing in us that God should save us, or that He should heal us, or that He should provide for us. But God does anyway, because of His grace. You do know this morning that it is He who provided for the second birth. You are a new creation in Christ, not because of anything you have done, but because of His work in you. That should receive a amen. It is He that has called us the children of God. It is God that has called us His own. It is God who has pardoned us. It is God who has accepted us. It is God who has called us holy. It is He who alone is able to preserve us until the day of redemption. All of these things are the work of God. My friends, we have much to be thankful for God has wrought all of these things in us, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. It is God who has qualified us according to His riches and glory. If we continue reading verse 13, "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves." God has accomplished two things. Two things, but in reality they're one. First, He has rescued us from the power of darkness. You are no longer a slave to darkness or to sin or to death. He's speaking of the darkness that can't be remedied by a nightlight. As the seasons have come on, it's getting darker earlier and earlier, but He's not talking about that kind of darkness. He's speaking of the darkness of death. Paul is not speaking of short days. I've spent a little time in Alaska, and there's times when there is no day. He's not speaking of that. He's speaking of the darkness of sin, which shrouds the mind and the soul and deprives man of life itself. No, He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. Amen? We are speaking, this darkness is the absence of the light of God's presence. For God is light. He is speaking of this darkness that results in the absence of truth, resulting in separation from God. Speaking of spiritual death. Well, how has God delivered us from this darkness? He says straight out, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He's brought us into the kingdom of light. We now no longer have anything to do with the darkness, with sin. Rather, we are called to live in the light. He has enlightened us by enabling us to walk in the light as he is the light. He has enlightened us, renewed us, bringing us from death to life, quickening our souls, seating us in heavenly realms. Praise God. He clothes us in the armor of light so that we are no longer subject to the dominion of darkness. We are now children of light because we're children of God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is great and he is greatly to be praised. But delivering us from darkness is not the only miracle God has wrought, and it's actually part of delivering us from darkness, because verse 13 also reveals that he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus. I have good news for you, despite any circumstance. Despite any storm, Don, thank you for that song. Despite any storm, Jesus is still on the throne. King Jesus still reigns. We must remember that we are citizens of heaven. We're citizens of heaven. We're not citizens of this world. And Jesus prayed that we would be in the world, but not of the world. Paul speaks of us as being pilgrims or aliens in this strange land. We rejoice, for King Jesus sits on the throne and nothing can stop his kingdom. Amen. Nothing can dethrone him. For he is the eternal king, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So let not your hearts be troubled, because King Jesus sits on the throne. Regardless of the circumstance, Jesus sits on the throne. There are things in this world that greatly trouble me. Bring me sorrow, bring me distress, if I let them. But I choose not to let them, because my eyes are not focused on those things, but on him. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. This world is not your home. This world is not your home. You're looking for heaven. Don't allow yourself to be entangled with the things of this world. Rather, focus your attention on heaven, on Jesus Christ. You know, there's an old song. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Get your eyes off the things of this world. I am an American citizen. And I am thankful for that. But I am more thankful that I am a citizen of heaven. You are an American citizen. But more so, you are a citizen of heaven. And King Jesus reigns. King Jesus reigns. My friends, rejoice. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is great. For he has saved us. He has strengthened us, sanctified us, delivered us from darkness to light, given us an imperishable inheritance. He has made us citizens of heaven. Verse 14, in case we lose sight, we've been brought into the kingdom of the Son. We have been given this inheritance, all because we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, it says that we have been qualified to be partakers. Well, to be qualified isn't any old simple thing. In order to qualify us, he had to die and shed his blood. But he said, you know what? I love them enough that I'll give my blood. I will die to qualify them to be children in my kingdom. What kind of king? What kind of king would be willing to die to acquire citizens? King Jesus is the only one that I know. Give thanks. Give thanks. For he died that we might be qualified to be partakers of his inheritance, and to be brought from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning for your goodness.